Well, good morning. If you would, open your Bibles with me to John chapter 17. John 17. Now, this morning was supposed to be the last of our canceled services. We are hoping to be able to meet again in person next Sunday. As the events have unfolded, that does not look like that's possible. So our services will continue to be canceled, and we'll hold them in this manner electronically, until such time as the Lord makes it safe for us to meet again in person. You just keep watching our Facebook page, and I'm sure when it becomes available that we can meet together, the word will spread. All right, John chapter 17, the subject of our message this morning is prayer, and I couldn't think of a better prayer, a better passage of Scripture to read than our Lord's great high priestly prayer to prepare our hearts. Hear a message on this matter of prayer. So John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Oh, how soul-thrilling is it to hear the Savior say, I pray for them. If the Savior prays for you, all is well, isn't it? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I declared, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in thee. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverent is your matchless name. Lord, we bow in your courts this morning. We bow reverently, coming before the throne of God Almighty. And how thankful we are not to come before a throne of justice, but before a throne of grace in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful. And we beg of thee this morning that you would meet with us, that you would bless your word as it's preached, that you would enable your people, Father, to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to have their hearts thrilled and encouraged and comforted. Father, bless your word to the hearts of your sheep, to call out your lost sheep to faith and repentance in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, while we are sorrowful that we cannot meet together in person, we give thanks for this means that you've given to us to be able to hear your word preached. And Father, I pray you'd bless it. We know that this is not an accident, something that's caught thee off guard, but it's according to thy eternal will and purpose. And Father, even in this difficulty, we're thankful to know you can bless your word. And you have blessed it. We pray you would continue to do so. And Father, we cannot come before you in prayer without seeking a blessing and healing for our world, our country right now. Father, we pray that you would be pleased to remove this plague from our land, that you would provide a cure, that you take it away. Father, bless, we pray. Keep your people safe from this and enable us to soon, quickly, be enabled to, by your grace and your power, to meet together and worship publicly, to lift our voices up together in song and praise and meet together to worship. Father, we pray for those who are sick and hurting. We pray that your hand of healing and mercy and help would be upon them. Give your people a fulfillment of your promise that no matter how the situation looks dire here in the flesh, that you'll not leave nor forsake your people. Comfort hearts, even in this dark and difficult time. All these things we ask, Father, in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now if you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. The title of the message this morning is A Prayer for a Troubled Heart. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. Now, I know that many people who are familiar with the Scriptures have thought about my text this morning over the last few weeks, and I have too. So I wanted to bring a message this morning on Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. I want us to see this prayer as a prayer for the salvation of our souls. You know, there are certainly are some things about this prayer that we can learn about a prayer of deliverance, of fleshly, earthly deliverance from our troubles. But the main teaching of this scripture, just like the main teaching of every scripture, is Christ. The main teaching here is praying for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him, because of Him. Now, this matter of prayer is very important. The prayers of God's people are important. Hold your place there. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Now, James chapter 5 says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of God's people are important because they avail much. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. The writer says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the writer didn't say pray and then I'll be delivered when the Lord wills, although that's true. But he says here, pray, I'll be restored to you the sooner by your prayer, sooner than I otherwise would. But prayers of God's people are important, aren't they? They're powerful. So in this time, we should pray that the Lord heal the plague in our land. We should pray that the Lord end this great suffering. We should pray that the Lord will enable His people to meet together again face to face in worship. Pray that the Lord do that the sooner. But now listen. If you and I only get serious about prayer when physical things are wrong, we only get serious about praying for physical blessings, physical healing, relief from physical pain, those kinds of things, If that's our attitude about prayer, then we've missed the point of prayer altogether. Now, the Lord did teach us to pray for those things. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for it because if the Lord doesn't give it to us, we won't have it. Give us this day our daily bread. But the heart of true prayer is worship. Even in asking, give us this day our daily bread, that's done with a heart of worship. That's done in a heart of submission, knowing I won't have anything unless the Lord gives it to me freely from His hand. Even in asking for those things, it's asked for in a spirit of worship. The heart of true prayer is worship. It's praise. It's thanksgiving, thanking God for who He is, thanking God for all the things that He's given to us. It's not just asking for stuff. Prayer has to do with spiritual blessings for Christ's sake. It has to do with the forgiveness of our sins, pardon for our sin, righteousness for our unrighteousness, spiritual life that we would be given. That's the heart of true prayer, and that's what we see in Solomon's prayer here at the dedication of the temple. And I have 8 points about true prayer from Solomon's prayer this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would teach these things to our hearts this morning. Now, number one, prayer, true prayer, is to God. It's to God. God on the throne, Almighty God, who can only be approached in our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is not to your good buddy. Prayer is not to the old man upstairs. Prayer is to the Holy God, who can only hear sinners like you and me in Christ. 2 Chronicles 6, you got it? Verse 1. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that He would dwell in the thick darkness. Now God dwells in a thick darkness that no man can see through. Now God hasn't hidden Himself arbitrarily from man. Man has separated ourselves from God because of our sin. The thick cloud of our sin has separated us from our God. No man can see God and live. Man cannot. We're this thick darkness that separated us between us and God. And man can't find a way through that darkness to get to God because of who we are, because of our sin nature. God won't accept us that way. But God has provided a way for sinners to come to Him. And that way is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, Solomon says, but I built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. Now God dwells in the thick darkness. We can't see Him. Yet Solomon says, I built this house for God to dwell in. Now you know this, that the tabernacle and the temple were both pictures of Christ. Pictures of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time in history, when Solomon is dedicating this temple to the Lord, there were a lot of religious shenanigans going on in the world, weren't there? There's a bunch of idolatry, just like today. It's full. The world is full of idolatry. There's a lot of religion going on. But at that time, the only place any son of Adam could worship God was in the temple. That's where God dwelt. See, all those religious shenanigans going on in all the countries around Israel and places all around the world, it was a quote-unquote religious service. It made people feel better, you know, they're being religious. But it wasn't worship. It wasn't worship of God. And God never accepted any of it. The only worship that God would accept at this time, it's this time in human history, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, the only worship God would accept at that time was the worship that He commanded in the temple. That's the only worship there was. And here's the picture. That tabernacle and the temple were both pictures of Christ. God will only accept worship that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. God can only be worshipped through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The animal sacrifices offered in that temple were the pictures of the sacrifice of Christ. God can only be worshipped through the sacrifice of Christ. That's the only way. Now that humbles a man, doesn't it? That humbles man and puts us in the dust. We cannot come to God as we are. We cannot be accepted before God as we are. We can only come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that tabernacle and the temple were pictures of Christ. That temple that Solomon was dedicating, at that time, that was the only way a person could see anything that was true about God. And here's the picture. You and I can only see God by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, by seeing Christ. We can't see how God saves sinners except in Christ. As He's not just the Jesus of our imagination, but the Lord Jesus Christ as He's revealed in His Word. God cannot save sinners. We can't see how it is God can save sinners except we see Christ. We cannot understand the character of God, how God can be both just and merciful, except we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't see the wisdom of God in salvation through representation unless we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't see the righteousness of God unless we see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God, that righteousness that's revealed in the gospel. We can't see it unless we see Christ, hear of Christ. We cannot see how Christ is the only mediator between God and men. We cannot see that the only way we can come to God is through Christ the mediator, unless God shows us Christ. We must see Christ. God can only be seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. God can only be approached in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can only hear our prayer if it's in Christ. So if our prayers would be heard, we must come carefully and reverently before God, and only in the Lord Jesus Christ for His sake. Not for our sake, because we've been such good Christians and such good little boys and girls, we deserve to be heard. No, our prayer can only be heard for Christ's sake, because He's the only one that ever pleased the Father. God can only be seen in Christ. Now read on, verse 3. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Israel. Now I've chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now God will not be approached, He will not be spoken to, He will not be worshipped, except in the way that He has chosen. And the way that He has chosen is the Lord Jesus Christ. God, for a long time in the history of Israel, did not give them a king. He did not give them a place where a temple would be built. They still had the tabernacle. Now God has given a permanent, appointed place where He might be worshipped. It's in this temple. Now God has appointed a king to be the ruler over His people. And here's the picture. You and I can only come to God in God's appointed place, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Savior, the eternal way to God. We can only come to God in God's appointed King who rules over us, the King Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's just one way to God. You couldn't go to any other city in Israel. Even in Israel, you couldn't go to any other city to find the place where God dwelt except Jerusalem. It's the only place. There was one place. There is only one way you and I can come to God. Just one. Oh, but aren't you thankful God's appointed the way? He's given a way that sinners can come to Him. So if we would come to God, we must come to God God's way, on God's terms, in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we come that way, we'll be saved and we'll be accepted. Now, verse 7. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said to David, my father, For as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken. He's performed it. Now remember that this is the point you were looking. He's performed his word which he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it I put the ark, wherein is the covenant, the promise, the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood, and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, this promised covenant mercies, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that the children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now God is a covenant God. That's it. Solomon is pleading here the promise of God. He's going back through his lifetime and through David's lifetime, reminding the people, God promised this to David, and he did it. God promised this to David, and he did it. God promised this to David, and he did. This is God's covenant promise to Israel, and he's kept it all this time. And his hope for the future, his hope for his reign now, is God will keep, that he will continue keeping his promise, continue keeping your word, your promise, just like you promised to my father David. That's our only hope. It's God's promise. Our only hope of salvation is God's covenant mercies. Now you've heard this many times. God is a covenant God. And what that means is that God does what he promised, what he purposed to do. So right now, at this very moment, 2020, God is doing exactly what he promised to do before he created anything. When God saves one of his people, he calls them out of darkness, he gives them life, he gives them faith. When God saves one of his people, you know what he's doing? He's keeping his promise to them. Just like he kept his promise to David that Solomon would sit on his throne. Solomon sat on the throne because that's what God promised. When God saves his people, he saves them because that was his promise, that he would save them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's covenant of grace is in Christ. It's all in Christ. It's all put in Christ. It's all dependent upon Christ. Before God created anything, when only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed, God promised that he would save a people. He chose a people and he promised he would save those people through the obedience and through the sacrifice of his Son. And that is exactly what God is doing right now. That's exactly what he's doing. Everything that's happening in God's creation is happening according to God's eternal will and purpose for this reason, to save God's people out of this world, to save them that he promised to save. And nothing that ever happens in time will ever change God's purpose. Nothing. Things may seem awful to us. Things like this virus that spread across the whole world. It seems awful to us, doesn't it? It seems like it's derailed everything. We can't do anything that we wanted to do. You know, we can't even meet together in person and worship. But brothers and sisters, you take comfort in this. This thing is not changing. It's not stopping. It's not even delaying God's promise to save his people from their sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not stopping at all. Matter of fact, somehow it's accomplishing it. Somehow it's accomplishing it. And that is what is pictured here in the dedication of the temple. God has promised he would meet men here in this temple. Because you know what's in the temple in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant covered with the mercy seat. The mercy seat was the throne of God. This is where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, above the mercy seat, between the cherubims, there in that Holy of Holies. That's the place that God will meet with men in peace. And that's a picture that God will only meet with men in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. Remember, that mercy seat every year was sprinkled with the blood of that sacrifice. The only place God will meet with men in peace is in Christ, our propitiation, where his blood is sprinkled to put away the sin of God's people. That's where God will meet with men, and that's the only place God will meet with men, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place. Now, don't get mad about that. Don't get mad everybody can't go all their different ways and come to God. Don't get mad that that's not true. Be thankful for this. God's provided a way. That's God's mercy. That's God's covenant mercy. He's provided a way for sinners to come to Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, if you and I would come to Christ, we've got to come through the sacrifice of Christ. My friends, there is salvation in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Christ has put away the sin of His people. It's not maybe He put away your sin. If you might perchance decide to accept Him as your personal Savior and let Him be the King of your heart, not maybe His blood will save you and cleanse you from your sin if you'll decide to let Him. No, sir. Christ did, by His sacrifice, put away the sin of His people. Since that's true, that lets a sinner come to God in confidence. We can come confidently if we're pleading only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He's provided a way. Sinners can be cleansed and can come to Him. Thank God He's provided a way that God will hear the prayers of poor sinners like you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, second, the rest of my points are not going to be this long, I promise. Here's my second point on prayer. When you pray, plead God's promise from His Word. Plead God's Word. Verse 17. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let Thy Word be verified, which Thou hast spoken unto Thy servant David. So this is what Solomon's, he's pleading God's Word. Lord, fulfill Your Word. Now, I don't know what the Lord will be pleased to do with us or our world at this time of this pandemic. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Will we get sick? I don't know. If we do, will the Lord heal us? I don't know. Will the Lord ever bless us materially again? Will He ever restore the economy and bless us materially? I don't know. I don't know. I tell you this, I'm going to pray that the Lord protect us. I'm going to pray that the Lord heal us and heal our world. I'm going to pray that, but I don't know what the Lord's going to be pleased to do in this matter. But I do know this. I have this from the Word of God. This is what I know because this is what God promised in His Word. God is going to save His people from their sin. And not one of God's sheep is going to lose their soul because this pandemic has stopped you and me from meeting together in person. It's not going to happen. God's going to keep His Word. Then my prayer is, Lord, save me. Save me according to Your Word, according to the promise of Your Word. Lord, fulfill Your Word and save Your people by Your grace. Lord, save me by Your promise that the Lord Jesus Christ would suffer the death that I deserve for my sin. Lord, save me and give me faith in Christ. Save me by faith in Christ and not by my sinful works. Lord, keep me. Keep me by the faithfulness of Christ, not by my weak, fickle faithfulness. I can just hear a little bit of bad news on the evening news, and it seems like my faith is just almost non-existent. I'm glad my security is not in that kind of faith, aren't you? Save me by the faithfulness. Keep me by the faithfulness of Christ. Lord, bring me to You. When Your time for me here below is finished, Lord, bring me to be with You, that I may see Your glory, that I may be with Christ, see Him as He is, and behold His glory where He is. That's my prayer. I can tell you this, the Lord will do that. He will do that for His people. You know how I know that? Because that's what God promised in His Word. See, if we would pray and have our prayers heard, plead God's Word, plead. This is how God saves sinners. Lord, save Your people consistent with Your Word, according to the promise of Your Word. So if in this plague, if the Lord uses this plague to bring one of His children home and bring them out of this world, the Lord did not do that to you. He did it for you. He did it for you. What the Lord is doing right now, He's doing to this world. But He's doing it for His people. He's doing it for His people. For the furtherance, for to accomplish His eternal will and purpose. And we would do well to remember that. And if we would, we'd find comfort for our hearts. When you pray, plead God's Word. Thirdly, when you pray, pray for Christ's sake. And what that means is pray to be seen and heard only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold heaven, and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? You know, the heavens, which God created, can't contain God. How are we going to build a house that will contain Him? The heaven of heavens cannot contain God. Yet, God did dwell in that temple and in that tabernacle. God revealed His glory in that temple through the worship that God ordained in that place. Now remember, the temple is a picture of Christ. The heaven of heavens cannot contain God. Yet, all the fullness of God dwelt in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in one man, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's glory is seen there, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where all of God's glory is seen, all of it. And I tell you what God's glory is, what His chief glory is. It's how He saves sinners through the sacrifice of His Son. That's where God's glory is seen. Then we need to seek to see Christ. We need to seek to be found in Christ. Not just seeking physical, material blessings. Being seen in Christ. That's how God blesses us. That's how God hears us. And the only way God can hear you or hear me is if we're in Christ. Verse 19. Psalmist says, "Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive." Now Solomon is saying that the Lord, according to his promise, God had promised, He will hear the prayer of His people in this place. And that Solomon's praying God's word. "Lord, You said if we come to this place and pray, You'd hear us. Now Lord, we're coming in this place to pray. Hear us in Christ, for Christ's sake. And when You hear, forgive. Forgive." Now here's the picture. If the Lord hears our prayers, He's going to hear our prayers in Christ. He's going to hear our prayers for the merit of Christ, based upon Christ's sake, not ours. So our prayer is, "Lord, You don't just hear me because I'm crying, like I'm so important. Lord, hear me because I'm crying in Christ. Because I'm crying for Christ's sake. I'm seeking to be heard on Christ's merit, based upon Christ's righteousness, on Christ's person, not my own." When you pray, pray for Christ's sake. Seek to be heard in Christ. Seek to be found in Christ. God hears prayers there. All right, fourthly, pray to be justified in Christ. Verse 22. "If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness." Now, Solomon is asking that there be right judgment in this house. He said, when there is a dispute, and one man's right, one man is wrong, Lord, give right judgment. Put on each man what they deserve. Give punishment to the one who's wrong and preserve and protect the one who's in the right. But all this that Solomon gives us here is a picture of how God justifies the ungodly in Christ. The Father made Christ sin for His people. He transferred the sin of God's elect to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Father recompensed. He gave to Christ everything that sin deserved, even unto death. Christ suffered until that sin was gone, and then He died. And because of that, God's elect are justified. They had no sin, because their sin has been put away under the blood of Christ's sacrifice. See, in the sacrifice of Christ, we see right judgment from God. At Calvary, the innocent man didn't die, and the guilty go free. No, sir. At Calvary, the Father put a guilty man to death. And He justified His elect by making them righteous in Christ's righteousness. Then let's seek to be justified in Christ. Let's seek to be justified through faith in Christ. Not our works of the law, but in Christ, who he is and what he's accomplished for his people. Let's beg God, justify me, make me righteous in Christ. God will hear that prayer because that's the way that God gives right judgment. When God saves his people, he saves them because it's right for him to save them. He made them righteous in his Son, so he made it right for him to have mercy upon them. He made it right for him to give them life, and he made it right for them to hear, for him to hear their prayer. Then our prayer, Lord, make me righteous in Christ for Christ's sake. Then fifthly, when you pray, pray for forgiveness in Christ. Verse 24, and if thy people Israel be put to the worst before the enemy, because they've sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Now Solomon's probably a very optimistic leader, but the question is not, Lord, if the people sin, or if we sin. The question is, not if we sin and we be put to the worst, but when we sin and we're put to the worst. When we sin, what will we do? Huh? When we sin, what will we do? When we sin, will there be any hope for us? Well, thank God there is. There's no hope found in anything we'll do. Thank God he's provided hope. He's provided the way, the promised way, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God did promise to give Israel the land of Canaan, and he gave it to them, didn't he? He gave it to them in spite of their sin, in spite of their unbelief. Those 40 years in the wilderness were spent complaining, were spent in unbelief, just would not believe God, would not trust God. Yet God gave the land to the people anyway, in spite of their unbelief. God gave it to them because that's what God promised to do. He's fulfilling his promise. And God forgave the sin of the people and brought them into the land. Well, in the same way, God has promised to save a people that he chose. He promised to save them from their sin. He promised to forgive them of their sin through the sacrifice of Christ. Then our prayer is that we be forgiven. Lord, forgive me for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Let's not act like we sin less than other people. Now, let's just not sin. There is no point in pretending like that. Let's not pretend like we sin less than other people. That's why God blesses us. We need forgiveness just as much as every son of Adam. Let's seek forgiveness on account of Christ's sacrifice, on account of the promise of God. Let's not say, well, Lord, forgive me because I'll do better next time, because we won't. Let's seek forgiveness purely on account of Christ. You know, the Father, he will forgive sin for Christ's sake. And let's make that our prayer. Lord, forgive me for Christ. Forgive my sin for Christ's sake. Sixthly, let's pray that the Lord shower his mercy upon us. Verse 26, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they've sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. Lord, if your people sin and you shut up the heaven, you don't send rain upon them, but they come and they beg your forgiveness. Lord, send rain upon the land. Send showers of blessing upon the land which you promised to give your people, that it bring forth abundantly to feed and supply your people. Well, you know the picture there. Our sin has shut up heaven to us. It's shut up God's blessing from us. All that God can give us because of our sin is curse. But if we confess our sin, we confess our sin nature, and we might as well confess it. There's no point in denying it. And beg God for mercy. Solomon says, the Lord will forgive. Our sin is great. Then we need the Lord to send great mercy upon us. Great mercy. We need showers of mercy from heaven. Showers of mercy to give us life. And we need showers of mercy. God continuing to shower us with his mercy to sustain our life. Then we should always pray as a sinner needing mercy for our souls. Oh Lord, I need mercy. God will hear that prayer and send showers of mercy upon his people. Then, seventh, and here's the verse that actually brought me to this text this morning. When we pray, we should pray for the healing of the pestilence of our soul. The pestilence of our soul. Not just the land, but of our soul. Verse 28. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there be. Now, many people right now across this whole world are praying for the healing of sickness, the healing of the pestilence of our land, our sickness and the sickness and pestilence that's across this whole world. And nothing wrong with that. We should do that. God's the only one who can heal this thing, so we should pray that He'd heal it. But I wonder, how many people are praying for healing of the pestilence of our souls? I wonder. I hope many, because that's the issue. The pestilence of our souls. That's the issue. The dearth is the dearth that's in our heart. It's a dearth of righteousness. It's death by sin. The word dearth there that Solomon uses means a famine. We're starving for righteousness because we don't have any. We're starving for life because we don't have any. There's a dearth in our hearts, a dearth of spiritual life and good. There's a pestilence in our hearts. It's the plague. It's the disease of sin that is 100% fatal. There's a blasting in our souls. The word blasting means a blight. Like there is a crop. Something comes up, but it's no good. It's got a blight. You can't eat it. It's ruined. It's got a blight. That's our works of righteousness. We have works of righteousness, but there's a blight upon them. They're nothing but filthy rags. They're no good. They won't do any good to anybody. Our works are full of mildew. The word means something that's rusted out. It's no good. We've got some works, but they're no good. They won't help anybody. They won't feed anybody. They won't give anybody any life. Brother, we're in trouble. We've got a dearth, a pestilence, a mildew upon our souls. The locust and the caterpillar of our sin has come up and eaten and destroyed anything that could have been good in us. It's eaten and destroyed everything. This locust and the caterpillar of sin has eaten us up from the inside out, destroyed us from the inside out. And we have a sore sickness. The word Solomon used there means a leprosy of soul. It's an uncleanness of soul because of our sin, and we're cast out from God from it. And there's no human cure for it. No human cure. Now that's true of the whole human race. You and me, my children and your children, all of us. It's true of the whole human race. We've got this pestilence, this blight of soul. And that's true of the whole human race. And the doctrinal truth of total depravity is undeniable. Total depravity means the whole world, every son of Adam is ruined in sin. But I will never be saved. I will never receive mercy from God until God shows me that I am the sinner. That this pestilence, this blight, this disease is true of me in my heart. Look at verse 29, what Solomon says. Then, when all this sickness, this plague, this pestilence, all this disaster comes upon the land, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man, or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore, when everybody shall know his own spiritual leprosy and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Now when a sinner comes to know his own disease, when it's quit being total depravity about everybody else, when I'm like Isaiah and I quit woeing everybody else, when I finally say, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm the man who's got the sore, the spiritual leprosy. When a sinner comes to know his own disease and his own sin and his own wretchedness and his own vileness before God, and that sinner cries out for mercy, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the sinner. I'm the problem. God be merciful to me, the sinner. When that sinner cries out like that, God will heal him. God will heal him. He'll heal him and he'll save him by rendering unto him the righteousness of Christ. God will heal him by rendering unto him the sweet balm of Gilead, the blood, washing him in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, pouring in the oil and wine, and healing him. Oh, what a God who would hear the prayer of poor sinners and heal them for Christ's sake. Oh, if we'll pray for the healing of the pestilence of our soul, I'm the problem. God will save and heal that man. That's what Solomon's saying. All right, now lastly, when we pray, pray for God's glory. Verse 31, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Solomon's saying, Lord, do this, that thy people may fear thee and reverence thee and walk in your ways for your glory. Let them see your glory and walk after you and believe you. Now, when we pray, let's pray for God's glory. You already know this by experience, I bet, that God will not hear our selfish prayers. But God will hear prayers for His glory. For His glory. My prayer is that God will bless His Word. Bless His Word as it's preached to save His people. To feed His people. To comfort and encourage the hearts of His people. So that we'll see the glory of God. We'll see how God has saved us by His mercy and by His grace. That He's led us and fed us all the days of our lives so that we give Him the glory and the praise. God, let us see Your glory in our day. If God will enable us to pray for His glory, God will hear our prayer. And that's exactly what I'm going to pray for. Now, in closing, let me give you this. I've talked to you about these 8 points of prayer when you pray, these things, how Solomon prayed here at this dedication of the temple. Let me tell you this about prayer. Please understand, I'm not giving you the words to say. I'm not giving you any words to memorize and repeat. I'm not even giving you a format to follow. You've got to check off these boxes when you pray. When you pray, I've told you this many times, use your own words. Use the cry of your own heart. You don't have to be worried it's not intelligent enough or clear enough. If you're God's child, He understands. He understands the cry of your heart. When you cry to God, use your words, the cry of your heart. And I'll tell you this. This prayer that we've just read of Solomon's, when God makes this prayer to be the prayer of your heart, when He makes the prayer of your heart to be a prayer to Almighty God for Christ's sake, when He gives you this prayer to be justified and forgiven in Christ, when He makes this the prayer of your heart that you pray for God's glory, God give glory to yourself in saving the chief of sinners like me, when God makes that the prayer of your heart, God will hear you, and God will save you. I pray the Lord be merciful, and He'll do that for you, and He'll do that for me today. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Word that so clearly sets forth salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, justification in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank You for Your Word that reveals to us that Christ is all. He's all that You require, and He's everything that we need. Father, we thank You. And Father, I pray You'd bless Your Word, that You would bless it to go forth to Your glory, that You bless it to go forth to the hearts of Your children, that by Your grace we would see Christ is all I need. And Father, cause us to cast our souls upon Him. Cause us to cast our all upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him be our hope. Let Him be our salvation. Let Him be our comfort and assurance, even in times when the world is so troubled around us. Let us find our hope, our rest, our peace, our salvation, our all in all, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, get glory to Your name. How we beg of You, You get glory to Your name by blessing Your Word and revealing Christ to the hearts of Your people. It's in His precious name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you.